We shall now turn to John 15 and verses 17 to 21 and consider this passage tonight. John 15 and verse 17. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If you're a Christian, you're somebody special. Because you believe in Christ, you're different from the vast majority of people around you. You are one of the chosen people of God. People around you hate Christ. They would not want to be under his rule. They don't see any need to trust in Christ. We will not have this man to reign over us, they say. But you love Jesus. You trust in him. And why do you love Jesus? Well, he tells us, doesn't he, in verse 16 of this chapter, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. So it's not our choosing him, but he chose us. From all eternity, God chose us. He planned to create a people and a world. And he planned that that world would fall. And he planned that he would save from amongst those who had fallen a people for himself, the elect of God. And then the Lord Jesus came and died, making particular atonement for the elect and just for them. And then something happened in time in your life. The Holy Spirit came and entered into your heart. You were regenerated, born again, and the Spirit applies to you the redemption purchased by Christ. So you become a spiritual person, a Spirit-filled person, a Christian, born again, a true Christian. And it's God's work. It's all of grace, and all praise must be given to God for it. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Praise God for choosing us. Praise Christ for dying for us. Praise the Holy Spirit for coming into our hearts. No glory to us. Glory be to God. It's God's work from the beginning to the end. And where God begins a good work, he will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. The passage before us today tells us not to be surprised if the world hates us. It hated Christ first, and therefore it will hate those who follow Christ. But the first thing to notice tonight is verse 17. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Brotherly love is so important. Love one another. These words are repeated over and over again in the New Testament. We find them, in fact, 13 times. Notice, for example, in John 13 and verse 34, Jesus says, a new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another. And then in the next verse, John 13:35, he says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." It's a great mark of the Christian. And John 15, this very chapter, at verse 12, we read, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you." So, there's great stress laid upon this. You see, pride comes in very easily, and jealousy, and suspicion. And we're so concerned about ourselves and what people think about us. But it's important to remember that first and foremost, we are to love the Lord our God. And loving the Lord our God, we should love everyone that belongs to Him. Everyone who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. We should love the whole family of God. The devil tries to stir up division and disharmony, but let's, by God's grace, overcome this division. Brotherly love is very important. Notice how Christ puts it in verse 13. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends." So Christ is saying, "I have loved you, and I loved you with the greatest love possible. I laid down my life for you. For you who are my friends." And if we are the friends of Christ, then we ought to be friendly to all the friends of Christ. Because He's our friend, all who follow Him and all who are saved by Him ought to be our friends also. We live in a hostile world. All around us there are people who are against us, contrary to us, criticizing us, persecuting us. Let us love one another. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I have commanded you." So, when worldly friends forsake you, when they turn against you, when they mock you and ridicule you, when they persecute you, draw closer to your fellow Christians. You belong to one family, the family chosen by God, saved by Christ, in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, and you expect to spend your eternity in heaven with Christ and with the people of God. So love God's family. Be loving, be supporting, be caring, be encouraging one to another. Bear one another's burdens. Pray for one another. So that's the first thing we have here in verse 17. Brotherly love is so important. Then secondly, "The world hated me before it hated you." Verse 18. "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." If the world hate you, well, in a sense, there's no if about it, is there? It's almost certain that the world will hate you. You may get off for a while. Things may be fine in the short term. But sooner or later, you'll discover that the world does hate you. What is the world? The world is, particularly in the writings of John, the world is mankind in his opposition to God. The world was composed of the Gentiles, the Romans, the Greeks, the pagans, and they invented their own gods and worshipped them. They didn't love the God of the Bible. They didn't submit to their Creator, the one who sustains and provides for them. Mankind in rebellion against God. We will not submit ourselves to him. We will make gods for ourselves, and we will serve our own gods, and we'll do what we like. That's mankind in opposition to God. But even in the professing church, you find that the world has come in. And it was there in the time of Jesus, the chief priests and the elders, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were opponents of Jesus, and they gathered together, plotting against him. They desired to crucify him. Why did they hate Christ so much, these leaders of the church, the professing church at the time? Why did they hate Christ so much? Well, because he was holy, and his holiness pointed to their sin. It convicted them of their sin. They felt guilty in his presence. I'm sure it must have been like that with Daniel. Remember in Daniel chapter 6, where the princes and the presidents combined together to plot against Daniel to destroy him, because he was a man of integrity. There was no bribery with him. He couldn't be corrupted in any way. And his pure, holy life convicted and condemned them. And therefore they sought to destroy him and get him to be cast into the den of lions. That's the way it is then with people. They hate those who are holy. And they hated Christ because his holy life condemned their sinful life. And then also by his teaching, he taught that they were self-righteous, that they were hypocrites, really. He tore down their mask. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, who love to pray at the corners of the streets, who pray long prayers for a pretense. And all the time you're devouring widows' houses, you're oppressing the poor, you're self-seeking and covetous. Jesus pointed to the hypocrisy, the pretense of the Pharisees and the scribes, and therefore they hated him. Also, they hated him because he was so successful, so popular. He had such power. He could heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, give sight to the blind. He could feed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Crowds followed him, and they were jealous of his success. Also, Jesus rejected their traditions. People are very attached to their traditions, very devoted to them. And the Jews at the time of Jesus, they had the traditions of the elders. There were certain things that you had to do. When you came in from the market, you had to wash your hands, not out of a sense of hygiene, but in the sense of washing your hands to, as it were, wash away the sins of these people outside. You were so holy. And they washed the outside of cups and pots and plates. They were so concerned about the outside. When it came to the Sabbath, in their tradition, they added 39 commandments to the fourth commandment. Now, it's as wrong to add to the scripture as to take away from it. And there they were adding to the scripture. Now, the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In it thou shalt not do any work. We're not to do any work but what is necessary, what is merciful, and we're to keep the day as a holy day as much as we possibly can. One day in the week given to God for studying his word, for praying, for fellowship together, for worshipping together, for the things of God. And we're to keep it holy as much as we can. But we're not to add our own commandments to it. We're simply to follow the teaching of Scripture. Jesus rejected their traditions, and therefore they rejected him. He claimed to be the Son of God, to be divine. And they regarded this as blasphemy. And of course, they were on the side of Satan. And Satan hated Christ. Satan tried to destroy Christ even when he was a little baby. You remember how Herod got all the little children in Bethlehem, 2 years and under, to be massacred in an attempt stirred up by the devil to destroy the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan has always been at war with Christ. And because of that, we have to say, yes, the world hated Christ because the world is a world ruled by Satan, inspired and dominated by Satan. And if we're on Christ's side, we will be hated too. But it's best to be on the side of Jesus, whatever happens. The world hated me before it hated you. And then verse 19, the world hates you since you don't belong to it. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The world is cliquish and clannish. It loves its own, but you're not one of them. Yes, there was a time when you were part of the world and you got on well with the world. They enjoyed your company and you enjoyed their company. But then you were converted. You were born again. And you didn't have to tell the world that you didn't want to go along with them. They soon told you that they didn't like your company. You had changed and they no longer were your friends. The world hates you because you're not one of them. You are now one of Christ's people. You're different. There's a kind of racism in the world. You don't belong to the race of the world. You're of a heavenly race. And your citizenship now is in heaven rather than on this earth. There's a religious bigotry about the world. You're not one of the world and following the world's religions. Therefore, the world hates you. There's great claims made today about the need for equality and diversity. But there's no equality when it comes to accepting Christians. And there's no acceptance of diversity when it comes to accepting the followers of Jesus. They will accept anyone but the Christian. The true Christian is hated and despised. They hate all who are born again. The Christian, you see, is the odd one out. I remember many years ago going on a mission trip to central India. I was on my own in a place, a little village called Lakhnadon in the center of India. And I remember walking along the street there, the only white man for miles and miles around. And as I walked along the street, every face was turned and looking at me. I felt very odd, very strange. I was the one odd one. And it's a bit like that with a Christian. The world looks and stares, just like the speckled bird is attacked by the other birds. Yes, they will accept Muslims because the Muslim religion is a religion invented by the world. They'll accept Hindus and Buddhists and Jews, but not Christians. Really, there's only two groups of people in the world. There's the people of Satan and the people of Christ. There's the world and the true church. Sadly, there are many so-called Christians who are worldly, who are part of mankind in opposition to God. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So many people say Jesus is my Lord, but he's not really their Lord. He's not doing the will of Christ, and he's not a son of God. Most people around us don't believe in God. They're atheists. If they're not actual atheists, yet they live like atheists. God's law and God's word has little or no place in their lives. They're not ruled by God, but they are ruled by Satan. But you are the chosen ones, and therefore the world hates you. Next, we notice in verse 20, hating the master, they will also hate the servant. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Remember Jesus' words in John 13, verse 16. There he says, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Jesus, the master, had taken a towel and a basin of water and gone round and washed the disciples' feet. He had taken the lowest position, the position of the lowest slave. And yet, he is their master. But he's setting an example before them. You and I should seek to humble ourselves before others. We should be willing to serve. We should remember that it's humility that commends us to God, and that we must not seek to lord it over others. Jesus set a great example before us, and he repeats it here. He says that he is the master, and if the master is hated, so will you. If they persecute the master, they will persecute the followers of the master. If they keep my sayings, they will keep yours. But the world doesn't keep Christ's sayings. And so the world won't keep your sayings when you tell them the word of God. The world is disobedient. The world rejects the Lord, rejects the master, argues against the teaching of Jesus, and mocks and ridicules the followers of Jesus. They will not accept Christ as Lord. They say, Lord, Lord, but they don't do what the Lord says. You and I are called to put our faith in Christ and to follow him. But the world is involved in unbelief and self-righteousness. The world thinks, I'm okay. I haven't done anything terribly wrong. There's worse people than me around. And sure, my good deeds will stand for me in the end. I'll be able to argue my case before the judge. And the world forgets that the whole world is condemned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every man and woman in the world is a sinner and deserves to be sent to hell, and will be sent to hell, unless they receive Christ as their Savior. If we do not trust in Jesus as our Savior, we're trusting in our own righteousness, and it's not enough. It's filthy rags in the sight of God. We cannot enter the marriage feast of heaven without the wedding garment being on us. And the wedding garment is the righteousness of Christ. Jesus, the great preacher, we must believe what he says and follow him. But if we despise him and ignore him, don't be surprised if we end up in a lost eternity. And Jesus, you remember, was the greatest preacher that ever was. And if people had listened to him, they would be saved. But the vast majority didn't listen. And if they won't listen, if they wouldn't listen to Christ, then we shouldn't be surprised if the world does not listen to us and instead persecutes us. Remember the word that I said to you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. And then finally, they will persecute you because they do not know God. Verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Many people think that they do know God, and they're confident of their religion and their tradition. But they're ignorant of him. They're following empty rituals. Even so many people in Christian churches, Roman Catholics trusting in the Mass on the Virgin Mary, liberal Protestants trusting in their good works, their membership of the church, and their taking communion. They're just performing rituals. We need to know God. And if we know God, we'll know God's Son. Because God's Son is God's great gift to man. He who hath seen me hath seen the Father, said Jesus. But you remember how the Jews crucified Christ. They hated Christ and they put him to death. And because they hated Christ, don't be surprised if they hate you. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So you, if you are persecuted for Christ's sake, you're in very good company. The company of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and the company also of the disciples, Peter and Paul, and the other disciples, most of them martyred for the sake of Christ. You and I are to be humble believers, humble followers of the Lord Jesus, and faithful witnesses on his side. We must guard against being ashamed of Christ. For if we are ashamed of Christ in this world, Christ will be ashamed of us on the judgment day. So let's be bold for Christ. Be faithful in standing for him. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine. Marvel not that the world hate you. Before it hated you, it hated me. Amen.